All right. I'm good. I popped a 6 milli Zinni.
There you go.
I got a Zinchino in the upper lippy. I'm good. I'm passionate about this city, man. I love you all. I love these teams. They're still a playoff team. You know, it's like a marriage. Some days you stub your toe and your wife calls you a crybaby. And you go outside and you scream in the shed. And then you come back in and you kiss her on the lips and you say, it's all right, baby, I still love you. That's how I feel with all of you. And that's how I feel about myself. And somebody says, just breathe, my friends. We're all frustrated with the Royals. Just remember, we still have the undefeated Chiefs.
Yeah, right. Like that's the thing. But I mean, it's two separate things, right? Like it's okay to have two good teams and to root for both teams at the same time in our town. I know we really haven't had that, you know, opportunity. But I don't know that I'm necessarily quote unquote frustrated with the Royals. I still think I'm enjoying the season because we didn't expect this team with 9 games to go to have a 2-game, game and a half lead in the postseason. Like again, think about expectation. Think about where you were, and expectations do change over time. And if they don't make it into the playoffs, this will be looked at as an epic collapse. But nothing is over until it is officially over. Nobody's clinched a playoff spot other than the Yankees right now and Milwaukee, obviously, in the National League. There are plenty of spots up for grabs. There's plenty of opportunity to do it. And worst case scenario, if they don't make it into the postseason, they still would have had a nice season. It's still a building block season of where you're going with this organization moving forward. And you always have to kind of keep that in perspective. I know we get caught up in the day-to-day, right? We're living baseball. Where every game matters right now. And we haven't been in that spot really since 2014, quite honestly. And I remember in 2015, September was not a good month for the Royals. And people were panicking and losing their minds and going, oh my God, what's going to happen? And I remember those conversations and having them with folks. And I'm like, you just got to calm down. This is a team that's already been to the World Series. They know how to win. They're going to be just fine. You play a little bum baseball in September. Don't worry about it. You get ready for October. But this is a team that just doesn't have that experience. Like, had they gone through this last year, I would be a little bit more confident that I am right now. Right. But again, as we've talked about, you know, we've got a pedigree of a manager that knows how to win. He's been in Cleveland and Tampa, right? Like they're winning organizations. He's seen the winning and he understands the winning and he keeps the right mindset too. I know people want, you know, managers and coaches to flip the spread and yell and chew somebody out and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And
that's not him.
It's not him, but it really doesn't work. I mean, think about your own position, right?
Think about the manager that was here previously to him.
Yeah, well, that guy, I don't know that he yelled, but he was very rigid and very tight and every game mattered. And oh my God, it was intense. You can't manage that way, right? Think about your own place of business. Are you motivated by fear or are you motivated by a calm boss who says, yeah, you didn't have a good day today, but you know what? We got your back. Go get them tomorrow. Everything's going to be okay. And that's the way Q is. And that's the managing style that you need. That's the way that Andy Reid is. That's the way that Ned was. Winners are like that. They understand, look, it's a long season. There's ups and downs. You maximize the wins, you minimize the losses. But now with 9 games to go, when we start on Friday night, you have to push the gas, right? The pedal to the metal, and you got to be on a sprint for these last 9 games. I don't know how many wins it's going to take over these last 9 games to ensure you got a playoff spot, but you just got to take care of your own business. You got San Francisco, a losing team coming in. Keep them losing.
Right.
You go to Washington, a losing team. Keep them losing. And then the final 3 games against the Braves, they're battling for a playoff spot. They may come down to the final 3 games. And boy, wouldn't that be a lot of fun for the Royals to come down to the final 3 games of this season fighting for a playoff spot when 6 months ago we were hoping to get out of April above 500?
Yeah. And I'm with a lot of these text line people. And again, it's, you know, somebody says, it sounds like you need a cookie. That's fine. I can give you the address. I like the softer ones. Crumble Cookies got a great lineup this week. Wait till next week. But no, the thing about it is there's 2 things and then we'll move on. I promise. And we'll go back to the Royals. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
There's 2 things right here, Bob. One is if you're emotional, it's a good thing. That means you care.
That means you care.
And that means you care about something that is good. The other thing too, is that you're still a playoff team today when you woke up and it is a long season. And I thought this was a great text too. And when day one of the wild card comes, no one will give a crap about what happened in the regular season at all.
As long as you're playing.
And it is that time because you haven't built your lead. You went through a 7-game losing streak. Now you're in a 4-game losing streak. But now you need somebody to step up on Friday night, which I will be there. I'll be at the game Friday night. I'm going to go see them play. I'm hoping that I bring some good luck. But again, like, you have to look at the big picture. They are still a playoff team. They are still a 2-game lead over Detroit. It just happened to be a terrible sweep at home in your home stadium in front of your home crowd against the worst possible team that it could have happened to.
Yeah, right. I mean, have you looked at what Baltimore's doing right now? They're not winning a lot of games. They're 6-9 in September. They were 13-15. Baltimore has not had a 500 month since June. Okay. And that's the team that you're potentially going to play in the postseason. They are not playing good baseball right now. Right. So you get into the playoffs, you play Baltimore. Hey, I like that matchup right now because the Baltimore Orioles just aren't playing good ball right now. They've lost three straight games two straight games to the Giants, one before that to Detroit. They beat Detroit. They lost a game there. I mean, they're doing a lot of losing since this month of September has taken place. And so Baltimore's not playing great right now.
Right.
I think at this point of the season, it's all about just surviving and advancing and figuring out ways to scrap out a couple of wins and finding ways to get the job done. And again, it's up to Bobby Witt. It's up to Salvador Perez. Those are the two guys that need to lead this team into the postseason and say, all right, enough is enough of this losing. We've lost four in a row. Haven't won since Saturday in Pittsburgh. It's going to be almost a week when they take the field tomorrow since they last won a baseball game. It's not on the manager. It's not on the pitching coach. It's not on the owner. The two people that need to lead this team are Salvador Perez and Bobby Witt Jr. And if they're not playing well and they're not getting the job done, then there's nothing we can do about the rest of the team. Your stars have to be stars at this point of the season. That's like the NFL. It's a star-powered league, right? Major League Baseball, the NBA, a star-powered league. Your stars lead. You're as good as your star players are. Your star players have to be stars for these last nine games.
And the thing also is that you're going to have two different sides of people on this whole situation. You have those other people that are like, I've just moved on to football season. You have the other people that are like, I'm still here. I'm going to ride the ship out. I'm on.
You can move on to football season and still embrace baseball season, though. But like, you know, it's not one or the other, folks.
But if you move on to football season, I don't want to hear you come October when this team's playing playoff baseball. I don't want to see you.
I'm back.
Well, you're not. You're gone.
You can't bail now. You can't bail now. Dusty, you got this far.
From the 816, Dusty must have went to Lewisburg for apple cider last night. Well, I didn't. I went to the Plate in Leawood. It was a great restaurant. Had a great meal. Fantastic meal. Then somebody says also, to keep me a little bit more optimistic, Dustman, got my first pumpkin spice air freshener of the year last night. The fall vibes are immaculate today, baby. Yeah, there you go. Have fun. We move on. This was Andy Reid yesterday on the signing and the addition of Kareem Hunt.
Well, just calling around and making sure that things were okay. Pat stayed good friends with him. So he was at Pat's wedding. And so, you know, those two came out in the same class and developed a friendship here. And then their general manager spoke highly of him, so coaches and so on. So we felt good about it.
Andy Reid on Kareem Hunt and the changes and what, you know, maybe time can do. And then this was Patrick Mahomes, your quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, on Kareem Hunt.
Everybody has friends that make mistakes, and obviously some are bigger than others. But at the same time, you want to make the person better. You want to see them taking the right steps to become a better person for themselves, their family, and the rest of society. And so I think you've seen that with Kareem. And so I've stayed in touch with him just to see how he's doing, how his family's doing, everything like that. And he's been able to carve out a great career in the NFL, but I mean, you've seen he's been able to keep his nose clean and be a better person, and that's what you want in order to make everybody better people.
You know, I listened to those comments yesterday from Andy and Patrick, and I thought to myself, you know what? If they're willing to give him a second opportunity and Clark's willing to give him a second opportunity,
that's the big one.
We need to give him a second opportunity. And there's nobody better in this world to give people a second opportunity than Andy Reid. I mean, this was a guy who visited Michael Vick in Leavenworth when he wasn't even part of his team, but Andy would make trips to Leavenworth when he was coaching the Eagles and visit with Michael Vick in his jail cell, right? Like, Andy Reid has given guys opportunity after opportunity. Travis Kelce's another guy who got multiple opportunities with Andy Reid. And so I know what Kareem Hunt did was a despicable act, and then he lied to the owner of the franchise about that. But put yourself in those shoes when you were 22 or 23. And I don't want to compare the acts, but we all made mistakes when we were 22 or 23 that you probably didn't make again. And you probably wouldn't make that mistake if you were a little older and you had your head on your shoulders the correct way. So I'm willing to give Kareem Hunt that second opportunity, especially here in Kansas City, when most people come in here and get that second opportunity, they take advantage of that second opportunity. I wish baseball would give players and whatnot an opportunity like the NFL does. Baseball's got the elitists at the Ivy Leagues running their operation right now. They don't want to give anybody a second opportunity right now, right? How much better would this team be with Trevor Bauer coming out of the bullpen right now? I think a lot better, right? But baseball, for whatever reason, doesn't want to give these guys a second opportunity. Football does give guys second chances. And I think right now, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, they're familiar with Kareem Hunt. Obviously, you know, Patrick is friends with him. I don't have an issue with them giving Kareem Hunt a second chance. And I don't think many fans have an issue with them giving Kareem Hunt a second chance. It's just like, what do you expect now out of Kareem Hunt? And like I said yesterday, if you go in with expectations of zero, then you're going to be pleasantly surprised at Kareem Hunt's potential right. performance.
I think the thing that's also interesting about this is that people nitpick on the second chances, right? Like, I understand it was domestic violence.
Yeah, it was awful.
You know that Charles Minnehue's on this team, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know why he missed six games last year?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Right. And there's guys throughout the league that have done that.
I think the difference is we all saw what Kareem Hunt did, the video.
And it was lied about.
Right. And it was lied about.
And, you know, I am one of those people, and I've been given second chances 1,000 times, as weird as that sounds. I've had second chances with this job. I've had second chances with relationships. I've had second chances with my family. I've had second chances with the law, in fact. I mean, I'm just being honest, throwing it out there on the table. And look, I don't think he's the same person. And we had Danon Hughes on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And even he said, he's like, you know, Kareem Hunt, if he wants to, he goes to the organization. He owns it. He apologizes. He shows that he's, you know, grown from this. And, you know, if there's people in your franchise that you trust, I don't know who you can't trust more than your starting quarterback and your head coach.
That's right.
Who have proven to everybody, like, even if you want to be honest with you, even Andy Reid got a second chance, right?
Right.
It didn't work in Philadelphia. It was an ugly divorce. Uh-huh. Came to Kansas City, and it seems like everybody forgot about Andy Reid.
Right.
Now, that's not domestic violence, but again, that's a second chance.
It's a second opportunity.
And,
yeah. His last 2 years in Philadelphia were not good football seasons.
They were not. And he put too much on his plate.
Right.
And he came to a realization. And I'm sure when he had that conversation with Clark Hunt before he was going to go to Arizona and apply for that job or interview for that job, he probably told Clark, he's like, look, here's what didn't go right in Philly. This is on me. Here's what we need to do. Here's the guys we need to bring in. And here's what we need to fix on to make sure that we're successful. And what happened?
They got the job. He's been successful.
And he won three. Right?
Yeah, they've been pretty good.
And, you know, it's interesting. And I know there's a lot of people that say, well, if Kareem Hunt's back, you know, when does he play? And Andy Reid kind of gave a timeline of that.
We'll get him in here and get some work, kind of get him back in the swing of playing. And then we'll just see, you know, as the game gets closer, we'll see how things go there and so on. But we try to get him in a position where he's ready to play either this week, next week, or the following week.
We'll so look, a great timeline. Yeah. This week, next week, or the following week. Andy did right then and there, he just sent a message to Atlanta. You got one more thing now you better prepare for, whether Kareem Hunt plays or not. It's a brilliant coaching move by Andy to say he could potentially play this week, because now the Falcons have to waste their time wondering and preparing for Kareem Hunt. That's the head football coach Hall of Famer right there.
Right.
Just by saying that, which didn't sound like a whole lot in the press conference, but now Atlanta's going, all right, now we got to prepare for Kareem Hunt. And they're going to waste time preparing for Kareem Hunt, and Kareem may not even play. Love when Andy Reid does that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that reminded me of the quote of, like, the first preseason game. Yeah, look, starter's going to play the first quarter. Yeah, but not what you think.
Right.
Right.
Like, play.
I would almost guarantee, and if I'm wrong, I'll come on the show Monday and gladly admit it, but I don't think he's going to be there this Sunday.
I don't think he is either, but now he put it out there, and Atlanta's got to go, all right, let's see what Kareem Hunt has, and let's see if we got to prepare for him. It wastes their time.
But it does give me optimism that he could be ready for the Chargers game. I do think there's a possibility that he could be ready for week four.
Yeah, I think like we, and I say the collective we, like fans, we put like too much emphasis on, oh my God, is he going to be ready? Is he, like, we worry too much about that stuff when they're just like, you're ready to go? Let's go. Come on. We're going to play some football.
He's played in the system, so he's going to know the play. That's not going to be the ramp up for him. It's really just going to be getting in shape. And I'm sure he's kept himself in some sort of football
physical
shape.
From what I understand, in physical shape, from like a yoked perspective, he looks great. It was his stamina that they were concerned about. Yeah, and you know what? You play two plays, go out to the sideline, take some oxygen, get a glass of water, go back in, and it'll be okay.
And he hasn't been hit in 12 months.
Yeah, that's the thing. He hasn't done anything football related since the end of last season.
So six months.
I mean, is that a concern? I don't know. I mean, I think we like to make it a concern. I think we dig deeper into some of this stuff than the actual teams do. They'll get him out there and practice yesterday, today, whatever it was. They'll look at him and be like, hey, you want to play? Fine, let's go. Let's see what you can do. And so one way or the other, Kareem Hunt is going to be part of this offense moving forward, and hopefully he does deliver. Hopefully he isn't a 29-year-old running back that like looks like a 29-year-old running back. Hopefully he's a 29-year-old running back that looks like he did a couple of years ago, and we can have some success. And then when you get Isaiah Pacheco back in 6 to 8 weeks, now all of a sudden you got Pacheco and potentially Kareem Hunt, and now you've got some exciting things going on in that backfield.
Not only that, speaking of people that, you know, you want to see come to life and get back to themselves is Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
And I know you've got a show from 2 to 6 that's leaning into the narrative that he's washed. I don't believe that. I don't think that's the case. I think that there's a little bit of you know, schemes, and there's a little bit of this and that, but this was Chase Daniel on his opinion of Travis Kelce.
It's load management for here. We got a graphic to your point exactly, just to illustrate to the viewers, the last 6 games of the regular season last year for Travis Kelce, he didn't even average 5 catches a game. 57 receiving yards per game, 0 tinks, as James likes to say. All right, look at the playoffs, Shady, to your point. 8 catches a game, 90 yards receiving, and 3 touchdowns. All right, so they're saving him for this. And I went back and actually checked, and I had Colin, my producer, check. So he has 39 yards through 2 games this year. He had a 41-yarder called back because of holding on Kingsley Sumataya, the Chiefs' rookie left tackle, who actually got pulled in that game for his bad play. Okay, last season he had 95 yards through 2 games. You add that in, he's at 82 yards. So he's on track similar to last year.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, it is the same. The only thing, Shady, that I think we aren't thinking about is that, yeah, they didn't have the receivers that they did last year, but they lost Isaiah Pacheco. Mm-hmm. They lost Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They lost Hollywood Brown. A bunch of other playmakers. Okay, Rashee Rice right now and Xavier Worthy, the only guys. You're going to have to step up way sooner than the playoffs. So you got to show it earlier in the year.
So he kind of, I don't know, talks out of both sides.
Yeah, he really
does. There,
I was like, that doesn't make sense at the end, right?
And that's just, you know, Chase being Chase, I guess. But the other thing, too, is that, you know, this is also on Travis. And he was on his podcast, New Heights, with his brother, and they talked about his slow start.
Mahomes' quote, we play 2 opponents. We play a lot, and they have a plan on how they're going to account and defend Travis. But as the season goes, he's going to get his catches, and he's going to get his yards. So,
yeah. And I could have played better, man. It is what it is.
All right.
Could have played better, could have ran better routes, could have got out of my breaks a little bit faster, knowing Hendricks was on one. And it's just, you know, you see things, you know, Monday morning quarterback. You see things better after the game and realize how you can play better and be better for your teammates. And sure enough, I've always had that accountability. I've always been my worst critic, and I'm going to, you know, remain my worst critic. I think that that I can improve a lot for my guys and be there for Pat in a lot of different situations. But like I was saying earlier, it takes a lot of things to go right for somebody to get the football. I'm just fortunate that Coach Reed and this offensive staff has given me that opportunity and, you know, has the confidence that I'll be able to get it done.
And that's what a veteran does, man. That's what a veteran leader does. You own it. You say, it's on me, even though I don't know how much of it is truly on him versus I do believe, and we kind of said this going into the year, it would be a load management type of situation for Travis Kelce. But I think this is the week, and I've been saying it since Monday, I think this is the week that Travis Kelce breaks out and has that big game, because now the people are doubting him, right? It's becoming a national story. Oh my God, he's no good. Ooh. Oh my God, the load management. What's wrong with Travis Kelce? This is the type of game that we've seen in the past where Travis Kelce comes out and goes hog wild and has himself a game. And I think that's going to be the case on Sunday. I think he's going to be the focal point of this offense. I think they're going to show everybody, hey, Travis is still here. He's still a beast. But I also think there's going to be that load management style with Travis Kelce. And at 34, 35 years old, I don't have a problem with that. I'm not there to see Travis Kelce get numbers and then watch the Chiefs lose in the postseason. I'm there to see how we preserve these guys for the entire regular season, which is why I've said for years, this regular season is a dress rehearsal for the postseason. They know what they're doing with Travis Kelce. They know what they're doing with all the guys on their roster right now. They're going to get the experience. It's more important to get experience for Xavier Worthy and Rashi Rice at this point of the season than it is for Travis Kelce to go get his, because you're going to need Worthy and Rice to grow and get better within this offense, so when they reach the postseason, they understand how to dominate and how to play in the postseason, and you know what you have in those guys in the postseason. And so they know what they have in Travis Kelce, and Travis will get his. Travis will have his big games. Travis will have his big moments. Then when the postseason gets here, then Travis Kelce turns it on to third gear or whatever it is, and then dominates the postseason like he did a season ago. But I think this is the week where he breaks out and everybody goes, see, we told you Travis is going to be okay. He's going to have a big game in Atlanta.
And if this is, you know, to give you numbers, the Eagles tight ends combined for 5 for 57 yards against the Atlanta Falcons, and the Steelers tight ends combined for 5 for 32 yards.
So they've done good against the tight end.
So they, yeah. And again, that's Freiermuth and Goddard. Yeah. Right, and two other guys that are irrelevant. But Travis Kelce's numbers going into this, according to DraftKings, over-under, 4.5 receptions, over-under yards, 48.5.
I'm taking the over on both.
There you go.
I'm pounding the over on both of those, because I do think that, because not only with the loss of Isaiah Pacheco, but again, the talk, like this team, if you watch what happens over the history with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, when certain things start to become talked about and start to become an issue, they usually go out there and cure those things. And right now, the issue, if you will, oh my God, what happened to Travis Kelce? Fine, let's show you where Travis Kelce is. Where are they playing on Sunday?
Atlanta.
Tony Gonzalez's hometown, Tony Gonzalez's team. That's where he became a star tight end and a Hall of Famer, he said, right down there in Atlanta. And what else is happening on Sunday besides the free food for all the Chiefs fans that are going down to Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
Sunday night football.
That's right.
The lights are bright. The national stage. Travis Kelce's going to shine, baby. I'm telling you right now, hit the over on both of those. Travis is having a big night.
Three catches on the first drive for 40 yards for Travis Kelce.
Right.
Book it.
Yeah, right.
Sit
and
back,
a touchdown.
Sit back, relax, and everything will be fine.
Right.